We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Baseball.
And now pitch by Martinez is up and in and hits Gerald Williams on the left hand.
Dig your cleats in.
Now he's going to charge the mound. He's going to charge Martinez and the fight is on. He got a right hand in before he's grabbed from behind by Varitek, and now the benches are empty.
It's time for hour two of the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris.
Yerzhevsky wanting to know, am I going? He is going.
And Mike Lynch.
It is a collision at the plate. Pierzynski not only bangs into Barrett, bangs onto the plate, and here they go.
Step up to the plate for hour two of the Hot Corner.
Posehnik getting into it with Barrett. I mean, there is some hooking going on in the bottom of two piles.
On 1080.
Rudez, no. Whoa. Bautista got all he could handle with that. Wow. That's some pretty solid contact right there.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that at the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com.
Question.
Speaking of podcasts, Beers on Us podcast drops tomorrow at 4. Get that wherever you get your podcasts, including at 1080thefan.com. Mike, continue.
So we put on a new movie because Footloose ended.
Correct.
We put on Day After Tomorrow.
Day After Tomorrow. Made in 2012?
No, that was
2004.
Wow. Yeah. Jeez. Woo.
It's a good guess by me.
Is Gyllenhaal in 2012 with John Cusack? Or
no,
is it just John Cusack?
That's just Cusack. You're right.
Okay.
So I enjoy this movie because it's like a good bad movie.
Right.
Oh, Ian Holm.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Bilbo Baggins. We put the guide on. It has 3 stars. Is this movie actually regarded as good?
How many stars do they give on Comcast?
5. Well, we just saw 4 for Karate Kid, which is pretty high.
Karate Kid got 4
Damn.
Stars. Yeah, right? It's like wax on, wax off, I guess.
Their standards are wild.
I'm pretty sure that it's probably based on like Rotten Tomatoes or something like that. Maybe not.
Which, but I'm sure Karate Kid has just like slowly creeped up and up and up and up.
Probably.
Like, do you know that Revenge of the Sith is soon going to be 5 stars on Rotten Tomatoes? Because the internet has decided that that movie is now a cult classic.
I'm going to go on a whim and say that the stars aren't based off of Rotten Tomatoes after seeing the Day After Tomorrow score.
Why is this 3 stars? This movie is not good.
I'm going to go with Jake Gyllenhaal.
It's good, but it's not good.
I'm going to go with Jake Gyllenhaal is in it and some 16-year-old girl in 2004 who is now named Karen and wants to speak to a manager thinks this movie is great.
Because the reason why it's given 3 stars is because obviously the special effects and just like the overall idea of it and what happens, I think, outweighs the bad.
Were the special effects good for 2004?
Like, because it's because it's about global warming and now it's topical, that it's like, oh, this movie was pretty good.
I mean, that scene of the tidal wave coming into New York City and they have to scramble and they somehow don't drown in the library.
Well, I told Mike, this is no Shawshank. It's not Shawshank.
No, it's definitely not.
Thank you. And Mike was like, I don't know. I like this more than Shawshank. And
no,
I was
no.
You can just F right out of here. The door's right there.
I was not talking about this movie. I was talking about Catch Me If You Can, you jerk.
Oh, either way, that's not as good as Shawshank.
I like that movie better than Shawshank. I think Catch Me If You Can is the most underrated movie of all time.
I think you're stupid.
The Rotten Tomato critic consensus: The Day After Tomorrow is a ludicrous popcorn thriller filled with clunky dialogue, but spectacular visuals save it from being a total disaster.
So if it's five stars, each star is worth 20%, correct?
Three stars.
So how many, its percentage?
That's like 2 1/5 of a star.
What's his percentage?
44%.
Oh yeah, man, dude. That's
like barely two and a half.
So Comcast system is
two and a quarter,
very different.
Yeah. 2 1/4 stars.
Yes.
On Karate Kid, 88% Rotten Tomatoes.
What's that?
88%
on Karate Kid.
Hey, Emmy Rossum's in it though.
Hey, dude, tell me what Revenge of the Sith is on Rotten Tomatoes.
By the way, the audience score only 82 for Karate.
I'm telling you, Revenge of the
Sith. That's actually pretty.
Revenge of the Sith from Star Wars is eventually going to be like 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's at 80%.
80. That
66 audience score.
Yeah, 80% though. That's better than you would expect.
With Episode 3 of Revenge of the Sith, George Lucas brings his second Star Wars trilogy to a suitably thrilling and often poignant, if still a bit uneven, conclusion.
That is the best. That is the best description of that movie I've ever seen.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Uneven.
That movie's a top five movie.
Thrilling and poignant.
That's one of my top five favorite movies, man. That
they
movie's
are
excellent.
Hitting it out of the park with these descriptions.
That movie's excellent.
Oh yeah, I didn't even read Karate Kid's description. Hold on.
It just says wax on, wax off. 5 stars.
Utterly predictable and wholly of its time, but warm, sincere, and difficult to resist, due in large part to Pat Morita and Ralph Macchio's relaxed chemistry.
Yeah, where's Ralph Macchio right now?
Doing like Comic Cons, I think. We had
forever
a Christmas
for the rest of his life.
Big John gave us a Christmas card with the Karate.
Yeah, he did. He did.
The Karate Kid. People in it. Yeah, Ralph Macchio. Is it Macchio?
Macchio.
Yeah.
He was in there.
Elizabeth Shue is in the original flick.
His second most popular movie. Can you take a guess?
The Karate Kid Part 2.
No, My Cousin Vinny.
That's a solid movie.
Oh, that is a solid movie. There's a couple Oscar winners in that. Joe Pesci and Marissa Tomei.
Definitely like that movie.
And then Crossroads, which I don't know what that is.
Is that the one with...
Is that Britney Spears?
I was going to say, that's the Britney Spears movie, I'm pretty
sure. No, based on the album art, the movie poster, no, that's not Britney Spears.
Okay, well, you know, I know what Britney Spears movie you're talking
After
about.
After The Karate Kid and My Cousin Vinny, he went to generic plural movie titles in Crossroads and Teachers. Those are his next two most... well-liked movies.
Sounds like porno. Ralph Macchio. Hey, baby. Wax on, wax off.
He's still acting.
Yeah? What was his latest thing?
2018, A Dog and Pony Show. No score yet.
Riveting stuff.
And his last coming score... in live, Nirvana live at the Clark County Amphitheater the Clark County Fair. Tickets are $15. Come on down.
2013, he played Ralph Macchio. And he's way more famous than you.
In a show called He's Way More Famous Than You.
Well, I think it's a movie, but yes. He also was in the movie Hitchcock about Alfred Hitchcock.
Doing what? Playing Ralph Macchio?
Playing Joe Stefano.
That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. And we digress. All right, when we come back, let's dive into some baseball and see what these new rules have in store for 2020, and if this is something we're actually going to watch. If you feel that way, 503-250-1080. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
You were my brother, Anakin. I loved you. That's good acting with some bad writing, man.
Imagine if this music was playing during that scene, too. How intense.
Don't try it. I have the high ground. And it's life, man. It's life.
Well, actually, it's not. It's a fake movie.
I hate sand.
It's coarse, it's rough, and it gets everywhere.
I'm trying to remember the name of the movie with Ewan McGregor.
God.
Where?
Velvet Underground.
The Island.
Velvet Goldmine, you're thinking.
Velvet Goldmine. Trainspotting. The Island.
Yes.
The Island.
With ScarJo?
Yes.
That movie sucked.
No, it didn't.
but Ewan was in it, so it was okay.
I think it was solid.
I think it falls in the Day After Tomorrow category.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's one of those where it's just like mindless fun.
That movie's a solid 1.5, 2 stars maybe.
Mindless fun.
He got to make out with ScarJo in it.
Or did ScarJo get to make out with Ewan McGregor? Okay.
Let's be honest. He got to make out with ScarJo. Okay.
No, ScarJo got to make out with Ewan McGregor. Do you guys not understand the phenomenal aspect, the God's gift to this planet that is Ewan McGregor?
Hey, Moulin Rouge, baby.
Yeah.
The Island, 40% Rotten Tomatoes.
Ewan McGregor. Nicole Kidman gets nominated for an Oscar in Moulin Rouge, and Ewan McGregor's better than her in the movie.
A clone of THX 1183, Coma, and Logan's Run, The Island is another loud and bombastic Michael Bay movie where explosions and chases matter more than characters, dialogue, or plot.
Unless you watch Ewan McGregor and you're like, oh, that guy can kind of act.
Yeah, now that I think about it, that movie is very much shot like a Michael Bay movie.
It 100%
is. Yeah, now that I think about it.
There's another movie with Ewan McGregor and Naomi Watts, and they're a married couple, and you know they've got their issues. But there's like a hurricane or like a tsunami, and it like wipes out the island, and they're all floating, and they get separated.
Yeah, that's based off of the Boxing Day tsunami in the Southeast Asia.
Right. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Naomi Watts is a phenomenal actress. I think she is fantastic. I've enjoyed almost everything she's been in. Ewan McGregor runs circles around her. He's so good.
I don't know the name of that.
He's such a great actor.
Is it called Incendiary?
No.
It's something.
Deception?
No. It's something clearly like there's a hurricane.
Was it Black Hawk Down?
No, but he's really good in that too. I'm telling you, Ewan McGregor is. When Ewan McGregor gets old, you're going to think of him like you think of Gary Oldman.
The Impossible is what it was called.
Yeah, you're going to think about Ewan McGregor like you think about Gary Oldman. You're going to be like
something hurricane, The Impossible.
You're going to be like that guy is really really stinking good. But you didn't realize it because he was in, you know, some weird things. Trainspotting, excellent movie.
Yeah, I need to watch that actually.
Excellent movie. Revenge of the Sith, excellent movie.
Isn't like, Trainspotting
Velvet Goldmine, excellent movie. Like what do you want from me?
Like uncomfortable?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd never watched it because of I've got a thing with like needles and veins.
Unnecessary
and stuff.
Things happening on film.
Yeah, like I just have a thing with like needles and veins and stuff, and I just decided not to watch that movie.
You'd love Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah.
Have you seen Requiem?
God.
Oh yikes. Joe.
Talk about the worst 15 minutes ending of a movie like ever.
Joe, by the way, I think we're in some uncharted territory with this guy.
God.
The Impossible, very good Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
It's a very good movie. It has Ewan McGregor and Naomi Watts in it.
I thought you were comparing it to The Island.
No, I'm telling you, it is an awesome, awesome movie.
81%.
On Hulu. Watch now.
It's on Hulu?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I got Hulu. I got Hulu for free with my Spotify.
Cool.
Do you guys remember when we talked sports on this show?
No.
Me neither. I just want to keep talking about Ewan McGregor. I'm telling you, this guy is the thing. He is the jam. He's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, what do you want from me? He's going to be in a Star Wars series about Obi-Wan Kenobi, Patrick, playing Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Patrick, you are allowed to love whatever actor and or actress that you want.
And I love Naomi Watts.
So if you love Ewan McGregor, I will not stop you from loving Ewan McGregor, nor stop you from talking about Ewan McGregor.
Nice.
I just don't feel the same way, so you just got to accept that.
Text line, Joaquin Phoenix greater than Ewan McGregor? Jump off a cliff.
He's probably right.
No, that's a troll job.
It's not a troll job.
That's a troll
Joaquin
job.
Joaquin Phoenix is one of the best actors we have right now.
Disagree. I'd take Ewan.
Okay. You'll take Obi-Wan is what you mean.
No.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix has been like nominated for like 3 different roles. Yeah. That he's played in. I mean, Ewan McGregor, how many?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, Joaquin's got a better agent.
The Academy's a bunch of frauds anyways. They don't know what they're talking about.
They don't, really, actually.
Yeah, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, they're like under scrutiny for all time for like, you know.
What are you talking about?
White people and, you know.
Blasphemy. What are you talking about? Come on.
Yeah.
This text asks, what's happening right now?
You know,
Ewan McGregor's happening right now.
Yeah, I don't really know either. You know, we just live here.
We don't live here. We only rent here for 2 hours a Wednesday night.
Really? You live here?
I do live here more than you do, yes.
I still got keys to the door.
That you do.
What up?
Haven't taken those away from you.
No. Yeah, one time my fob, like, died, and I couldn't get into the building. I like used it to like open it and it wouldn't open. And I was like, oh, I guess that's the easy way out. You don't got to send an email. You don't got to do anything. It's just
FOB doesn't work. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, we kind of fixed the glitch.
Yeah, we don't really give replacement FOBs. Yeah. So. I guess this is goodbye.
Bye. So I am curious what these new rules look like for Major League Baseball. So, like, let's not be real. Let's not beat around the bush here. 60 games, that's not much.
Nope.
So things are going to be concentrated. So we expect the good players to kind of stand out.
I think teams are going to try harder from the start.
Sure.
There's going to be less protecting players. There's going to be less protecting the bullpen. There's going to be less giving guys chances. It's going to be go, 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 which should make for really exciting baseball.
Agreed. But are you of the thought process that the cream of the crop will rise to the top? Or do you think things might get a little more lateral? You know, like teams that shouldn't be as good. Because I think some people think, oh, this is a bad thing. A bad team might win the World Series. But in theory, wouldn't the best teams in a shortened season do better?
I think the cream will rise to the top. I think the World Series winner will be a deserving World Series winner.
Yeah, you're going to see a Yankee, Astros, Dodgers.
Or hell, if a team is
Cardinals, Braves.
Comes out of nowhere and wins 40 games in the regular season and they make the number one seed or whatever, and they're deserving, great, right? I think we will see that because over the course of many seven-game series or 5-7-7, you're going to see the best teams rise to the top. What I do think is going to happen is I think you're going to have an incredibly tight wild card race where there's going to be probably 10 teams in each league that are fighting for it last 2 weeks of the season, which should make for a lot of exciting games. I do think it will probably allow a team that's probably not so deserving to make the playoffs. It might not, but I think it opens the chance for that team to make it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you could finish 30-30 and make the playoffs.
Totally.
And, you know.
I mean, what's the Orlando Magic record right now? They might make the playoffs.
They're under 500, yeah. I would say generally in baseball, if you see a team around 500 make the playoffs, it's a little bit different because you're like, well, they still won 81 games. And it's,
yeah.
Okay, 30 wins is like, whoa, that team's making the playoffs. It's been 2 months barely. Come on.
Right.
So I think you might have that, but I do think in the end, a team deserving of winning will win because it's just talent will win out. The ability to manage games will win out. And I think that will rise to the top.
I know. Cause
a hot streak can throw things into a loop and injury concerns can throw things into a loop. Imagine last year, the Yankees had everybody hurt in the first month of the season.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at the Nationals. I mean, we wax on about the Nationals.
That's A, B, and C. They were awful in May and then won the World Series. So it could happen that way, which would be a bummer for either side of that argument, the team that has a lot of injuries or the team that was really good but struggled to start. But generally, I think you're going to get probably about who you expect to win, or at least the team worth it.
See, I tend to agree with you on that. However, and I'm going to ask this question, and I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it for the sake of being fun. I agree with you that I think the cream of the crop is going to rise to the top. However, why do I as an Indians fan feel a little optimistic? I didn't love our chances going into the season.
Yeah.
I thought we'd be okay. Twins win the division. Maybe we battle for a wild card. But I was just kind of like, we got a good staff. But outside of Frankie, I don't really trust anybody in the offense. Mm-hmm. Now I see 60 games and I'm like, maybe?
Yeah.
Good staff. I like our chances.
A lot of teams are going to be feeling that way. They go, we're not perfect, but the Angels, for example, you poked fun at me for saying the Angels have a chance. Mike Trout is the best player in the world.
Hands down. I won't hear it otherwise.
Let's say Mike Trout opens the season hitting 420, blaze it.
Mike Trout hits 30 home runs next year.
Somehow, some way.
This year.
And the Angels will have a chance. They don't have a great staff. They don't have a great bullpen.
He's got 69 RBIs.
Nice. But, you know, they're like, hey, we got Trout. We got a chance. Ohtani will be back. We got a chance. I think 85% of the teams are going to feel that way.
What if Mike Trout hit 420 and hit 69 RBIs?
I think that he would go down as the most legendary human being to live on the earth ever. More legendary than Gandhi.
I want a gamer tag that just says Mike Trout.
You could probably hit that.
420 Mike Trout 6969.
Now you might be pushing it. I think somebody probably has that already.
Mike Trout. They clearly don't know that Mike Trout doesn't smoke or get down on the 6969.
Well, you don't know that part.
I got a good feeling. But yeah, it's crazy because like that's what I was saying. Like, I'm with you. I think, you know, I think teams with a deep pitching staff and a good bullpen, like, I love this for the Braves. Like, I love this for the Braves because I think a lot of what hurt them last year was just a taxing, waning season to where the Dodgers had a little more depth and were able to kind of get through the dog days, so to say, and were able to, you know, rise to the top of them. I mean, they lost to the Cardinals, and the Cardinals were the same way. But this is the kind of time you got Soroka. What if Fulton Avich comes out and goes 11-2 mm-hmm. with a 2-3 ERA? Going into the playoffs.
He wishes like, as he has him on his fantasy baseball team.
I hate you. And that's your fifth starter. You know? It's going to be crazy.
I think that's why I'm willing to let this be the way it is. Because the excitement will be there. I'd rather it be a full season. I'd rather there be the storylines and the grind and the ebbing and the flowing and the hope and the dismay at losing a stupid series to a bad team in July because your team got hurt. I'm going to miss that. But for 1 year, I'll enjoy the hell out of the 60-game season.
Yeah.
Because it's baseball. What other choice do we have?
We don't have any choice.
Exactly.
This is what we got. Well, when we come back, I want to look into, you know, we're going to have to talk about when we can bring in Big John. Because we're going to have to preview the season. We're going to have to do that.
I know. It's been a while.
But I am curious. Just a little bit of, let's shoot in the dark. For a little bit of fun. Let's see which teams this benefits, which teams this hurts, and we'll get into that next. But first, there's Joe with sports.
Breathe out so I can breathe you in.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
There's currently four tornadoes over Los Angeles right now.
And an earthquake at the same time.
Just joking. That's just the movie we're watching. Gotta be careful, man. You know, we got those sheets because we're valuable members of the media. In case there are real things happening.
I realized I didn't do this in the club today. I was going to do it tomorrow.
I figured it was fitting since we talked about them last week.
What, the Foo Fighters? The most overrated band in the history of rock and roll?
No. This is Rick Astley.
Oh, covering that's right. Everyone. I did see that the other day.
It's actually pretty good. Minus the guitar, but his voice is pretty good.
What about the guitar? What's wrong?
It just sounds off.
Yeah, because it's the same thing as Dave Grohl, but it's not Dave Grohl, so you're like, oh, that's not very good. Oh, because it's not very good.
Wow. That's a hot take.
No, it's not a hot take. It's a reality. Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl, most overrated musician of the 20th century.
Why?
Don't let Suk hear you say that.
Why?
Yeah. Suk loves Dave Grohl.
Because I find his music to be very simple, not complex, and it's very thematic, very...
like predictable?
Predictable is a great term. And I think it's riding on coattails of people that are more popular than you.
There's not a lot of people more popular at Foo Fighters than Dave Grohl at this point, though.
The other two people in his band that he used to be in were more popular than him.
Well, okay, but things have changed now, Patrick.
Times are changing.
Yeah, I'm still going to go with the Foo Fighters, massively overrated.
All right. I mean, you're free to have that opinion. I just don't agree.
Well, yeah, because you're whitewashed, you know, by the music yes. coming at you.
Me being the death metal fan, I'm whitewashed.
Yeah, like the radio tells you this is awesome, and you're like, okay, the best, the best because of you. I just sang like four songs in one right there. Like they all sound the same. That band is not great. I don't think it's bad. I think they got music that people really like.
That is true. But a lot of people do really like the Foo Fighters.
But I also think a lot of people really like Taylor Swift.
That's true.
You know? And I just think that band's just kind of meh.
Taylor Swift's the band?
No. Stop. Don't do that. You know what I'm talking about, Michael.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I
my favorite
I,
thing
I,
in
I,
all
I'm,
these...
I'm sorry. I've just never been a Foo Fighter guy.
You're allowed to have that opinion, Patrick. It's okay. We're not yelling at you. You're yelling into nothing like you're expecting everyone to argue with you, but it's, you know,
because
we
I know,
just disagree.
Because I know everyone is arguing with me, just not you two.
I think it's because
Speaking of you two, that's a great band.
Oh.
You see what I did there? Huzzah!
I actually do like some of U2 as well, but for you to make the stand that Foo Fighters is overrated and then say that U2 is a good band, I think you're going to make a lot of people's heads explode.
Right,
but because most people think U2 is overrated and Foo Fighters is great.
No. U2 has an album that's one of the top 15 albums sold of all time.
Well, yeah, I know, but that's also, wasn't that their first album?
No, it's their like third album.
Is it their third album?
Yeah, Joshua Tree. It's like,
I thought that was their first album.
I think it's Bad, War, and then Joshua Tree. Yeah, it's like a top 15 album sold of all time.
You know what I liked?
What?
Zootopia.
No, you don't.
I did. My parents listened to that constantly when I was growing up. I actually did like that album.
Zootopia is decent. It's decent.
Uh-huh.
I like Zootopia.
Okay. Joshua Tree's the best.
See, I like this right here. JR just came in right now on the text line 503-250-1080 the fan. His drumming on Queens of the Stone Age songs for the deaf was pretty stellar. Agreed.
Queens of the Stone Age is great.
Personally, agreed. I think his drums are fantastic. I've always liked him as a drummer. But Patrick is right. Dave writes songs for 15-year-old kids who think they're emo. That is the most correct statement I've ever heard about Dave Grohl in my life. You want to hear great Dave Grohl as a musician? Go listen to Lithium by Nirvana. The drums in that song are phenomenal, are absolutely fantastic. Okay, but when he gets on an acoustic guitar, everything is dun 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 dun. And he's like, the best because of you. And you're like, I'll pass. Hard pass.
That's a great band that I think is underrated is Queens of the Stone Age.
Queens of the Stone Age is great, but they're full of like a great bunch of musicians that made famous off other bands they were in.
Well, so what?
Well, I know.
They're called super bands. That's those things are allowed to exist.
Well, yeah, that's okay.
They make good music, man. It's like metal for people who don't like metal.
Who's this? Metallica?
No, Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, I feel like Metallica is a metal band for people that don't like metal.
No, Metallica is like the gateway metal band. And if you stop there, then that's fine. But Metallica was the first metal band I listened to. And I know
a lot of metal fans that would slap you silly for calling Metallica metal.
Well, okay, that's fine. They're classic metal. What do you want from me?
They're like classic rock.
Well, for the time, they were metal.
I would not put Metallica in the classic rock category.
Well, no, I wouldn't put them in classic rock, but I also wouldn't put them in metal.
That's why I said classic metal.
I would say that they're metal. I mean,
they're not metal like Iron Maiden or Black Sabbath.
They're in the similar that's category. Metal. They're similar.
Nah, Metallica's wussy.
They're all in the same boat Jeez, to me. Those are Patrick.
Dude, Metallica's garbage. That band sucks.
Oh my God.
Patrick. Okay. Patrick.
Foo Fighters and Metallica? Come on, man.
Being upside down for a segment clearly affected your brain.
No, I felt this before. If anything, I'm just more empowered. Dennis Quaid, underrated actor.
Okay. Have you seen Jaws 3D?
I was gonna ask a question about this movie because you know it's a disaster movie. In real life,
in two ways, as it's a disaster movie.
Hey, you be careful. 3 stars on Comcast. Do you think in real life, when there's disasters, are there rooms full of 150 people just looking at one small TV screen and talking?
I hope not.
Or is that just for movies?
I think that's just
a
movie.
Sounds inefficient.
I feel like that happens, yeah, in every disaster movie.
It's like in that movie, Dennis Quaid and I forget the other actor's name who was with him. They enter the room, tons of people, and they have this really important look like, oh, I deserve to be in front of the TV.
I was just going
to
say.
And everyone clears the way for them to walk right up to the front. And it's like, that's not how that
Move
would work.
Move to the side, to the side. Let me get through.
Here comes Dennis.
I don't know who this guy is, but he seems important. Get him to the front.
Look at the face he's making.
He seems concerned, more concerned than us.
There's some things coming across the fan text line 503-250-1080.
I'm sure they're very endearing of your opinions.
It's a little 50-50 on here.
Are you being kind by saying 50-50?
No. Well, there's 50-50 because there's things in here I agree with. Pantera, tons better than Metallica. I'm cool with that. Temple of the Dog, best super band ever. 100% agree with that.
Yeah, Patrick loves Temple of the Dog.
Seen that band live. I think that band's phenomenal. Chris Cornell, top 3 rock and roll singers of all time. Maybe even number 1 if it wasn't for a guy named Freddie Mercury. So I'll put him number 2.
Dear Lord, U2 is the most overrated band ever.
Dude, you know, everyone that hates U2 doesn't listen to U2. Their 80s stuff is great. It's when Bono became a D-bag and their stuff like flattened out in the 90s. Their 80s stuff is good. It's good. It's not rock and roll. It's not rock and roll at all. I would never consider U2 a rock and roll band. But they're
were kind of like pop.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. But their 80s stuff is good. It's the stuff after that that's just not that good. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I used to live with a guy that I know his name. His name is Jesse. I don't want to say his last name. I used to live with this guy named Jesse. And I used to come home at night from the bar and roll into his house. And he would be watching old Red Wings Avalanche highlights because he was a big Avalanche fan. You know, and he loved hockey. Stoned out of his gourd, drinking whiskey, listening to Primus. Like, that was my life for like 9 months to a year. Okay? Like, I've seen metal, and that's not Metallica.
Well, you haven't seen metal because you haven't seen my metal. But, you know, Primus, yeah, okay. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I want to bring you to a metal show one day, Patrick.
I've been to metal shows.
My metal shows.
Strychnine is my favorite metal band of all time.
My metal shows.
I don't want to go to your metal shows.
You should experience it once.
I don't know, man. It seems soft to me. Like, if you're going to go, go. You know what I mean? If you're going to be metal, get metal. I don't want soft.
I don't understand what that means.
I don't either. It's your style, not mine.
Okay.
You decide what that means.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to go in the mosh pit, but I'll be at the edge.
Right, but you got to remember, like, man, like, this ain't, like, I guess so many people that are like, this millennial, and I'm like, okay, this 35-year-old whose knees hurt and his back's going out, and I'm just tired all the time. yeah, man, I just like different kind of music. Like, if you're going to get crazy, get crazy.
Patrick is a hipster. It's okay.
No, I'm not a hipster. I'm just picky and choosy.
Yeah, okay. So he's a hipster.
No.
He is picky and choosy about everything. Some players are flashy and exciting. Others are arrogant.
Yeah.
And douchey.
Yeah, 100%.
Bryce Harper looking right at you.
Looking right arrogant. At you. Looking right at you. Right at you. But I watch KBO.
Yeah. And then rag on it immediately for being bad baseball.
That guy threw his bat into the fifth row.
Did it hit any no fans?
It hit no fans, but he popped up to right, shallow right. But nobody caught it because the second baseman and the right fielder couldn't communicate. It's like Little League, man. You know, like Metallica and metal. Like how that came full circle? Nobody, just me.
I really don't agree with that at all, and it's frustrating me that you're saying that.
I know.
Late Metallica is awful, but early Metallica is great.
See, this is my favorite thing. Like, nobody really listens to this show, and then I say Metallica's terrible, and someone's like, this dude, Patrick, whatever his name is.
They come out of the woodworks.
I know, they're like, I heard someone talking trash. Flips on 1080, turns the stereo up, fires out of the phone. This guy's probably parked in the middle of I-5, perpendicular to oncoming traffic, because he got a text in. Like, this guy, whatever the hell his name is an idiot.
Yeah, to me, the Black Album is the last good Metallica album.
Cool, I still don't like Metallica or the Foo Fighters.
After that,
it's not great. I like
Temple of the Dog.
The next album was Saint Anger, and that's when it started to go a little bit downhill there.
You're not metal when you tell people you're metal. I'm just telling you. Saint Anger, I'm so mad. This is an album called Love Songs.
This dude, Patrick, is total garbage.
Yeah, no, I love it. Whoever the hell this guy is. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap this show up. We're against the clock. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close. Closer to the prize at the end of the rope. All night long, I dream of the day. When it comes around and it's taken away. Leaves me with the feeling that I feel the most. Feel it come to life when I see your ghost.
It's 8:51 here. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Yeah, I just think this is kind of meh.
I loved this song when it came out. It was O2.
Yeah, I'm just...
I do kind of see what you're saying about the simple guitar.
That's all I mean. I don't find this, like, intricate. I don't find it groundbreaking. I don't find it new, innovative.
I will say this. one band that I know a lot of people love.
See, and that's what it is. And then it breaks down. It's like, and we got on a good time.
Okay, so Patrick, it's pop. So, like, of course, right? It's popular music.
But that's like Dave Grohl in every damn song. I almost swore that's how passionate I am right now.
So there is one band that I cannot get behind. I know they're popular. I do not understand why on earth they're popular. And it's for a very similar reason for why you dislike the Foo Fighters. I cannot stand the Talking Heads.
Oh.
Because to me, when I hear them, it's like...
Oh, things just changed.
Simple, simple, basic, basic, boring sound, boring sound. Where is the groundbreaking? Please kill me. That's how I feel when I listen to Talking Heads.
Whoa, whoa, I don't...
Is your mic off?
No, it's on.
Oh, okay.
Patrick, I wish I could say I was sabotaging his microphone, but I am not.
No, I can't hear him either. That's why I was saying that.
His anger at this point has broken the microphone. His hot takes burned the microphone.
Can you guys hear me?
I cannot hear you in my headphones now.
I can hear you through microphone, Mike's microphone, but I cannot hear you through yours.
Oh, good.
How about now?
Nope.
No.
How about now?
I mean, this is only fitting after the egregious things he's been saying for the last half hour or so.
So the microphone just died. That's good. I wonder if it has something to do with you turning upside down.
Can you hear me?
No.
Jostle it around a little bit. See,
yeah, like in the wire in the back. See if you
move
it
around,
around
here. You know. Unplug.
Wire.
Oh.
Oh, you got me.
There.
Hey.
There you go.
Hey.
Damn it.
Look at that, man.
Damn it.
I just figured it was a huge prank because Mike said he didn't like the Talking Heads. And I was like, you find that boring? I find that some of the most intricate, like, groundbreaking music I know of. Like, that's the 80s in a nutshell.
I tried with them.
Like, David Byrne?
I tried with them.
Oh, my God, dude.
I know anybody listening who loves them will hate anything I say because I listen to death metal. And you know what? That's probably warranted, right? I have a very, very, very unpopular taste in music, right?
Fish for the win. Bad take. Pat is a pussycat. May you sneeze for 977 days.
I think that's to me because I don't like the Talking Heads. But I
think the Talking Heads are absolutely phenomenal.
You know, I went into it with an open mind and went, oh, I'll give this band a try. And people seem to like them.
You got light in your eyes.
Just didn't love it.
He literally at the beginning of that Stop Making Sense video, he's like, hi, my name is David Byrne. I'd like to play this tape I made. And it's Psycho Killer. Like, it's so good. It's so good.
But that song is so simple.
Burning Down the House? Watch out. Dun, dun. You might get what you're after. Cool, baby. Strange, but not a stranger. 365 degrees. Burning down the house.
Look, if you don't have down-tuned guitars and... seven strings and crazy solos. No, I'm kidding.
The best because of you. That's it, man. That's every Foo Fighters song ever. Ever.
It is true.
Until it's an acoustic. And everyone's like, oh my God, it's so cool that he's doing an acoustic.
It
and it's like,
catchy,
cool.
Though.
So he's muting strings on an acoustic guitar instead of an electric guitar. Okay, cool. I'm out.
But it is catchy. That is for sure.
I guess, man. So is U2.
U2 is also catchy. Yes.
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod.
That's catchy.
Is this our close music for the day?
I mean, like, listen to it. Just listen to it, man.
This is an iconic song.
Iconic or heard a lot are two different things.
Both?
This one takes all night.
See, you know the lyrics.
Well, yeah, because it's been thrown down my throat for a century.
If you hated it, you wouldn't know the lyrics.
It's hard to get down the throat. I'm glad this baseball show talked about baseball again.
We did for like 2 seconds.
It's pretty fitting to how the landscape of things are right now.
With satanic powers come great responsibility. Thanks, JR. I love you, brother.
One text doesn't like the Talking Heads. Thank you for agreeing with me. One other person.
Well, they said they never liked them. You were just like, this band sucks. Wow.
I mean, I don't like them. What do you want me to say?
Mike was not vocal, but he gave me the eye look of,
Yeah. Right, I forgot I was on radio for a second, but yeah.
All right, well, that's enough for us today. That's Joe Fish behind the glass. We can thank him for playing DJ tonight. That's Mike Lynch. I'm Patrick Harris. We'll be back next week We're got to look in and look forward to Big John coming in at some point as we preview the Major League Baseball season, because we'll have to get into that. But for the three of us here, this is 10A the Fan. Go do something I would do, like listen to real music.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.